from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, always one of my favorites here is we're live at Baptist Health Training Complex. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, football insider, does a lot of great work. He's been traveling a lot. Pete, thanks for finding some time for us this morning. How you doing? How you holding up?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. You've been to some different camps. Wanted to run through, especially what it has to do with the Miami Dolphins. And I got to ask you, they don't practice like they used to. I'll just start with that, and we got a lot of guys injured. Is that going on all over the league like it seems to be?
Yeah, well, nobody practices like they used to. I mean, it's amazing how different it is. And, you know, it's no full pads, guys out of drills. They used to have two practices a day in full pads. You know that. It's just entirely different. But I was in Buffalo or Rochester last week and watched the Bills, and they actually ran gassers after practice. So, that was a little different. And you know, but again, the hitting, the lack of contact all across the league, it's kind of, you know, what they do now because they protect their players. And that's why you see the first month of the season, football is bad. Because offensive lines don't hit, they don't work. You got to hit people to become a good offensive line. So I think for the first month of the season, I think it struggles.
I guess my other part of that, the bigger part, was we just see a lot of guys injured. I saw Cleveland's complain about injured. 49ers are saying we can't practice against a team they're getting ready to play in a preseason game, and the Dolphins got their share of injuries down here that guys aren't ready to go. I'm not saying they're out for the year, but banged up a little bit.
You know what, though, Joe? Here's the other part of that. The injury now is different than the injury when you played. They would have taped your thing up and put you back out there and made you play through it. Now, if there's any hint of an injury, they pull him out of practice and say he's injured. So,
yep.
So it's different. It's a different time. It's a different way to handle things. They want everybody ready to go for the regular season.
Yeah,
you
I
miss
get
a couple
that.
Days
yep.
of practice. You know how that goes. It's different. Now, there is the other theory that guys work out year-round, and is they're putting that much more pressure on their bodies. And you know, because, you know, even back in the day, you used to take time off to kind of get your body to heal. And these guys
Lots
go almost year-round. Yeah. Well, these guys go year-round now. And so
I know they do. Much better shape.
But is there too much strain on the body? That's the other side of that. So there are a bunch of theories out there, but you're right. There's a lot of injuries. But I think if the game was on Sunday, a lot of these guys who are missing practice would be playing.
Yeah, Pete, let me ask you this question. We see the devaluation of the exhibition season. Now you get to the point where these joint practices are far more important than the actual preseason game. Are we just getting to the point where we can get rid of this preseason? And I guess they're going to go to 18 regular season games. Are we inching closer to that point?
You know, Omar, I think we are, and I think we should be. And I've always said that I always thought that the best thing to do would be to have two workouts, you know, like with teams, one at their place, then somebody comes to your place. And then you have one at a neutral site kind of to build a little bit of a fan base. You know, for example, in Jacksonville and Atlanta would work out in Macon and try and, you know, all the money would go to charity and they try and, you know, generate more interest in a place that maybe, you know, might not get as much. And you know, Tampa and Miami could do something, you know, at a high school stadium somewhere in between, something like that. Because I do think that you have to get away from these preseason games because nobody plays. They get, you know, every veteran, you know this, every veteran you talk to, they get way more reps in these practices than they do in any preseason game, and they're much more valuable. The only downside is, and I was actually talking to Josh Allen about this. He said something about this last week. You're not getting tackled, so you got to get back to being a guy that's getting tackled. How do you handle that? How do you, because the first couple times you're tackled, you're sore. And, you know, it's different. It's different than just getting, you know, go throwing passes in a practice. So I think there's something to be said about hitting a little bit and being tackled. But teams don't tackle anymore in any of these practices, so it's entirely different.
All right, so you teased me about the Bills, one of the teams that the Dolphins have really struggled with since Josh Allen's been on this team. What do you think of their wide receivers now that you've had a chance to see them up close in Josh Allen's passing game?
They'll be fine. I mean, you know, the whole Stephon Diggs thing is, let's put it this way, I think it's addition by subtraction, and I think they get this. They have the same feeling when you talk to people in that organization. He didn't do anything in the last 10 games of the season. He turns 31. He wasn't the greatest guy around. I mean, it was always, you know, in Josh Allen's ear. And so I think
he
from that standpoint, yeah. And from that standpoint, it's addition by subtraction. Was he a good player? He was okay in the last 10 games, but I think he averaged 40 yards per 10. I mean, 40 yards per game. That's not great production. So they're not sad he's gone. Having said that, they need guys to step up. Coleman from Florida State needs to have a good season, and they liken him to a guy like Michael Thomas with the Saints. And Ronald Curry was there when he was with the Saints. That's the kind of guy they liken him to. I think Samuel's going to be an effective player. Shakir is better. But the guy who's going to catch 120 passes is Dalton Kincaid. I mean, the 2 days I was there watching them, he just did. They couldn't cover him. The linebackers couldn't handle him in one-on-one situations. The safeties were too small for him. He's so good at getting into the soft spots in the zone. If that guy doesn't catch 120 passes, I will be shocked.
Hey, so I got to ask you about a team I know you know very well, and the Miami Dolphins are going to open the season. And Omar's not a big fan
of
Trevor Lawrence.
Not my dude.
Not at all. They're counting on him, obviously, by the amount they gave. How do you like the Jacksonville team overall?
Omar, you would take Tua over Trevor Lawrence?
Absolutely. I know.
No, not in any way.
Don't start throwing out everybody in the league feels that way.
Tell me something that Trevor Lawrence has done that Tua has not already done.
Well, he won a playoff game.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's on Justin Herbert's back. Okay.
Hey, man, don't start looking at me. I've been telling Omar trying to win a playoff game.
He's beaten some teams with winning records. It was something. I mean, what was it? Tua last year? 1-6 against teams with winning records.
Yeah, and he came up short in the clutch moments last year.
The bottom line is they both have a lot to prove in my mind. Trevor Lawrence, when he's been healthy, if you go look at his body of work over the last 18 games, is when he's been healthy, he's been darn good. He shouldn't have played in a lot of those games last year. I think that's why they went out and got Mac Jones. They think Beathard's not very good. He shouldn't have played. He didn't practice. He shouldn't have played, but he did. But still, what you put on tape is on you. I get it. But I think that they're going to be much better because they got speed to go down the field. The kid from LSU can fly. And he's this week against the Bucks. The days I was there, he was running by people. You know how those rookie receivers are. Sometimes it can take him a little time, but I don't think it's going to take him that much time. He's really adjusted.
Wow.
Gabe Davis gives him a big body. Christian Kirk, who was hurt at the end of last year, is back healthy. Evan Ingram, they're going to score a lot of points. The concern is the middle of the offensive line. I mean, they went and got Mitch Morse. Mitch Morse is a pretty good player, but he's not an overpowering center, but he's better than what they had. They had a terrible center last year in Fortner. The two guards, they're suspect at best. So I think the middle of the offensive line could be a problem, and that could be something that hinders what Trevor Lawrence and that offense can do. So, yeah, look, Trevor Lawrence is a much better player than his reputation is out there. And, yes, I would take Trevor Lawrence over Tua.
Hey, let me ask you about their defense real quickly. How good is Jacksonville's defense?
Well, you know, Joe, they're going to be much better rushing the passer because they changed the scheme and they brought in Ryan Nielsen. They're going to play a 4-3, and now, you know, those two edge rushers, Walker and Josh Allen, Hines Allen, he is now, are going to go up the field to attack people. They got Armstead to get a big body in the middle. Their nose tackle's healthy again after almost dying last year with a back infection. The two linebackers will be solid. The question is, can the corners hold up? You know, they paid Tyson Campbell, who's from here, down here, a lot of money. Now he's going to be asked to play a lot of press man. Same with Ronald Darby. That's the question. But I think they're going to be better on defense. They're going to be a good team. They won 9 games last year, and people thought they stunk. They're going to be better than that. I don't know if they're going to win many more games than that, but they're going to be a better football team.
Hey, so I got to ask you, this rookie class of quarterbacks, I know we haven't seen them. We got teased. I should say we saw a little bit of them in the preseason. How much you want to read into that? How good do you think this class is going to be?
Well, I'm a big Jaden Daniels guy. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a star. I like the way he handles himself. I like his attitude. He's got that swagger to him. And I know people say he's skinny, but I don't care. He stands in there. He can make all the throws. Look, the difference, I said this in the draft process, he's the most improved player I've ever seen in my entire life from the time he walked into a school to the time he left. And he went to Arizona State. I watched him closely. I'm a Sun Devil. He wasn't very good. He did some things, but he wasn't very good. Then he goes there, and his improvement is impressive, and I think he's going to be the best of the group. I said it before the draft, and I'm standing by it. Williams has talent, don't get me wrong, and he's going to be probably a pretty good player, but I think the best one will be Jaden Daniels. McCarthy getting hurt hurts them. You know, the Drake May hasn't done a lot. The Penix looked good when he played, but he he's going to be a backup, so it's going to take him some time. But I think the guy that's going to be the best of that group is Jaden Daniels, and
wow.
I'm a big believer in him.
You and Omar. Wow.
Yeah, I'm a Jaden Daniels fan as well.
But Caleb Williams, man.
Let me ask you this, Pete, and we've seen it's done so many different ways. If you had your opportunity to groom a quarterback, would you let him sit and watch, or would you throw him on the field and let him take his lumps?
If I had Aaron Rodgers in front of him, I'd let him sit and watch. But if I don't have that option and I have a stopgap guy that's in there, I'm going to play him. I want him to play. Every quarterback I've ever talked to throughout my entire career has said they learn more in 2 games playing than they learn in an entire season watching. It's so I want my guy in there. And everybody says, well, you might ruin his psyche. Well, if you ruin his psyche, you draft the wrong guy. You know, everybody goes, oh, look what happened to David Carr. David Carr got beat up. Sure he did. But David Carr, from what everybody in that organization told me, went home at 5 o'clock and didn't do the work. And that's why he wasn't a great player. That's why he didn't become a great quarterback. You got to be able to live it and love it and breathe it. And if you get thrown in there and you get broken by the conditions, then you drafted the wrong guy. That's my belief. And so I think you throw him in there, Omar, and let him play.
Hey, Pete, real quickly, Ryan Tannehill still out there. My belief, not everybody agrees with me, Ryan's better than a lot of these guys, especially a lot of the backups out there.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you feel. How do you feel about Ryan Tannehill?
I think he's a backup, but I think he's probably sitting there waiting and see what happens and see if somebody goes down and that kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, you look at the Vikings backups, he's better than the Vikings backups. I don't think there's any question about that now. You know, so maybe, you know, that would be a situation. But, yeah, he's better than a lot of the backups in this league, but that's what he is. He's not a starting quarterback anymore. And does he want to go through the process and become a backup on a team? That's the question we don't know.
If you're the Dolphins, just to bring it closer to home, in case you haven't been reading any of these local articles around here, there are some people who said, hey, maybe we ought to bring in Ryan Tannehill, bring him back to back up Tua Tagovailoa. What do you think?
Well, I never quite understood the Mike White sign and the acquisition. That one made no sense to me anyways. But, yeah, I mean, he's better. He's better than what they have. I would say that right now. So, but, again, then there's always what happens if Tua goes out and plays poorly in a game or two. Do people start clamoring for Ryan Tannehill because he's been a starter before?
I don't think you have to worry about that.
You never know. You know how – I'm not saying – I'm saying idiot fan. You know how that goes.
There are a lot of those, but I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, Pete, so I got to ask you. We went through this with Omar, and Odell Beckham Jr. went off on some people on social media, went off on a guy, and Omar gets blasted a lot on his stuff for some of the crazy-ass stuff
Pete gets
he
it
says.
Too.
Pete gets it, too. Pete, how do you handle that stuff? With all the followers, hey, Pete, you're full of crap. You don't know. How do you handle that?
You know, I've gotten to the point where I just let it go most of the time. Unless they make it totally personal, then I'll let it go. I mean, I just don't – you're going to get nothing but trouble if you start interacting on a consistent basis like that. And I used to be bad at it. Don't get me wrong. I block guys.
At least you're coming clean.
I mean, I was terrible at it. I'd go back and forth with it. It's just not
– Hey, bitch, what have you done calling on me? At least I'm there. Where are you?
See, what I do is, like, when I came to – and I'll be there today, by the way. I'm coming to watch the Commanders. But when I was there for the Dolphins that day, I got on Omar about one of his tweets.
Yeah.
He tell you. He was getting all over Calais Campbell for, you know
– Looking like an old man.
Oh, he's back on that bandwagon. Don't worry. He jumped right back on.
I let it go. I let it go, Pete. I listened to you. I watched it. He was just – he's pacing himself, man.
Of course he is.
He's old as hell. He's like the fifth oldest player in the league.
And he's smart. He's pacing himself. You don't go 120% in the practice in the early part of – the late part of July. I mean, that was that's what he was doing. Joe paced himself through all training camp when he was a player.
I wouldn't even start. I learned real quickly how this thing works. When to go hard and when to glide a little bit. Yeah, there's no question. Hey, Pete.
Now I got trackers on you, Joe, so they know when you're loafing.
You're
going to get that tier tart treatment.
That sports science group wouldn't have been real popular with the guys I play with.
When I was in high school, I used to tell the guy across from me, I'd say, and he'd tell me, he'd go, hey, come on, let's just make it look good. Let's just make it look good today. And we growl and we grunt and everything. And then one day some guy took out his girlfriend that he didn't like. And he goes, let me go by there, okay, and act like you missed the block. And I go, okay. So I dove down, fell down. He got through, and he broke. I got a hit pointer from it. He hit him so hard. Did I feel bad about it? Not one bit.
No. Hey, Pete, great having you, man. Really appreciate it. We'll see you in a few minutes out here. Thank you.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, senior NFL columnist.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.